Because it's Easter Sunday, I've brought you a gift, and I have bought you a bar of gold. Is that exciting? Yeah. Oh, I nearly heard a whoop whoop, a little bar of gold. So, would you like to, Julian, could I give the honour, could you pass the bar around? Everyone take a bar of gold this morning, everyone's got a bar of gold. So don't open them yet, but I just want to have everyone a bar of gold. Hopefully there are enough to go around. So it shouldn't be one between two, although possibly married couples may have to share, depending on, I did a rough count, but...
it's chocolate, you can't do sharing.
So, or is it chocolate, because they're gold bars, so it's a bit... but anyway, I thought you deserved some gold this morning, it being Easter Day. So, do you have a gold bar? There we go. Is everyone, how are we doing? Has everyone got one? Jean hasn't got one yet. How are we, how many are left? How many left have we, did I...
Simon, was it just
one? Yeah, Graham. How many of you take it? It's not banoffee pie, you know. Oh, why didn't you take that one? Or someone? Yeah, just someone take. Yeah, give the extra one to Graham. What about Jess? Jess hasn't got one, actually. Oh, Graham's got one. Excellent. Okay, so you've all got a bar of gold, but you may have noticed. There is a very exciting prize to be won. See my very exciting prize, which someone this morning is going to win. Very exciting. But what is the very exciting prize? That's the question, because it's we don't know. We don't know what the very exciting prize is, but someone is going to win it. Now, how do you get the prize? Can you buy the prize with a bar of gold? What do you think? Do you think you can buy the prize with a bar of gold? No. You can't. Sorry to disappoint, Veronica. You can't buy it with a bar of gold. Can you buy it with two bars? No, you can't buy it with two bars of gold. In fact, you can't buy it with 24 bars of gold, which is the number of bars of gold that are in the room, unless someone snuck one of their own in, which hopefully you haven't. You can't buy it with 24 bars of gold. It's invaluable. But not all bars of gold are the same. Whoa. One of these bars of gold, just one, contains a ticket. And if your bar of gold contains the ticket, then you get the prize. So if you would like, well, you must like, otherwise we'll never find it. You may open your bar of gold. If you want to take it home and eat it later, you need to open it carefully. If you're going to scoff it now, you can just rip it open any way you like. Open your bar of gold. Someone, hopefully, will have a little ticket, which will say... Graham. Is it Graham? Well, has Graham won the... Graham's won the bar of gold. What are the chances? Two bars of chocolate. And you won. What does it say?
Well, funny enough, I don't
want to.
You gave one to me.
We gave one to you, and he's throwing away. You've won the prize. You won the prize. So the rest of you, you've just got your lovely gold bar. But Graham has won the prize. If we give Graham a round of applause for winning the prize. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Excellent. Right, moving on. You want to know what the prize is?
Yeah.
Ah, you're curious to know whether winning the gold, the ticket, that's one thing, isn't it? But you want to know what the prize is. Oh, you're curious, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, how curious are you?
Very curious.
All right. Okay. On a scale of 0 to 10, how curious?
10.
Oh, there we better. Shall we see what the prize is then? Let me better read it. Simon shirt. Right, okay, let's see what the prize is. Because it could be anything, couldn't it? It could be anything. Any guesses?
An empty box.
Oh, you think, would I be that mean?
Yes.
All right. Oh, thanks. I would. If there were children involved, I probably might well be, but it might be empty. Or what else might be in it?
An Easter,
do you think?
An Easter chick?
Could be empty, could be an Easter chick, could be an Easter egg, could be mint sauce, could be a lamb. What can't open it? Hang on. Could be a gift. Oh, hang on. Are you excited, Graham? Looking excited. It is, in fact... Never seen you move so fast, Graham. In fact, inside it has 9 gold bunnies. Oh, 9 gold bunnies. How are you going to share those out? How are you going to share those among so many? Okay, so we all had a gold bar, but the gold bar wasn't enough to win the prize. To win the prize, you had to kind of win the ticket, and then we had to be curious about what was inside the box. Now, I was thinking about what to talk about this morning, and the thing I was thinking about was we celebrate what Jesus has done for us. We celebrate the curtain of the temple being torn in two. We celebrate the presence of God being open to us, but then I think we stop and we're not very curious about what that actually means. What does it actually mean that Jesus died for us? What does it actually mean that our sins are forgiven? What has the door been opened to? What is it we're actually celebrating this morning? And the best film that you can watch, I think, that explains the gospel story really well is the original version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Okay, so if you want to know the gospel story, go home and watch the original version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Okay, so what do we know in the film? There are a bunch of people who have heard about a world that is beyond imagination, but they can't get in. They've heard rumours of what it might be like. And then an invitation is given that not by merit, not by earning anything, but if you can find the golden ticket, that'll get you in. So if you remember, there's a scene in the film, if you remember the original version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, there's this wonderful scene where Charlie finds his golden ticket, and it's a cause of huge celebration. Huge celebration. He's delighted. You might think, oh, well, then now the film can end. He's got his golden ticket. He can get in. But that's not the end of the film. The ticket is beautiful in and of itself. But it's beautiful because it allows him into the factory, which is a world completely beyond anything he's ever thought of or ever imagined. They go in and they can eat the grass. And they can eat the flowers and everything is, and it's mind-blowing in how beautiful it is. And he didn't deserve to be there. He didn't earn his place there. He just found this gift. He almost stumbled across it and found his way in. The most beautiful thing, do you remember there's a scene at the end of the film where Charlie goes into Willy Wonka's office. Do you remember this scene? He goes into the office and Willy Wonka's there writing, and then there's been all of this upset, and Charlie goes in with, and he returns the everlasting gobstopper. Do you remember that? That's been the test. He gives back the everlasting gobstopper. And then there's the big reveal. The big reveal that has been the plan from the very beginning that they haven't really understood, haven't really known about. The big reveal is Willy Wonka says, "Now this is all yours. This is all yours. I want to give it all to you." Because what Willy Wonka has been looking for from the beginning is an heir. He wants someone to pass all this on to. He wants someone to share this world beyond imagination. And that's what Charlie discovers at the end. Actually, this is all mine. And it's just a beautiful, for me, explanation of the gospel story, that we don't enter into what God has prepared for us by merit or because we've deserved it, but because we've found his son, Jesus Christ. And finding Jesus Christ is the most wonderful, the most beautiful thing, to find this forgiveness of our sins. But that's just the door. And it opens the door into a world which is beyond our imagination. And it ushers into a world that God wants us to inherit. But here's the most wonderful thing, and the thing that we need to think about, because what does it look like? What is it that we're looking forward to? What is it that we're going to inherit? We so often think about receiving Jesus and knowing that because of what Jesus has done, we can look forward to being with him in heaven. We can look forward to going to heaven. Is that what we're looking forward to this morning? Are we looking forward to going to heaven?
Yes, very much.
No. Wrong. I'm not looking forward to going to heaven.
Where am I looking forward to?
I'm not going to heaven. You're not going to heaven. Heaven's coming here. Our direction of travel is all wrong. We sang it in one of our songs earlier, that heaven is coming to earth. We've bought into this picture that we live this life and then we go to heaven. We're like, well, what does that look like? What are we looking forward to? And it's like not opening the box. It's like, well, I know I don't know what it looks like. And, well, just heaven is coming here. Let me take you through very quickly a few scriptures and tell you what we're looking forward to and why we should be so excited this morning about the door that Jesus has opened for us. John 3:16, perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible and perhaps the most misunderstood, because we read it and we interpret it in terms of our personal salvation. God has given us his son, Jesus Christ, so that our souls can be saved. What does the verse say? For God so loved the world that he gave his son. God so loved the world. It could read, God so loved individual souls that he sent his son. But it starts, God so loved the world. The world that we live in, the world that God created, everything. Not just our souls. This world, his creation, that is an expression of his love. That's what God loved. That's what God wanted to restore. What does Paul say in Romans chapter 8? Creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Why did God send his son, Jesus Christ? Not just to pluck our souls from our bodies and send them into this disembodied heaven. No, God's plan is the restoration of creation. And at the heart of that is the restoration of our relationship with him, which is why Jesus died on the cross, so that our sins might be forgiven, so that we could be reconciled to him. But his plan is that this world will be created. What we're looking forward to is not a disembodied spiritual life somewhere in heaven. We're looking forward to this life, this world being glorified, being recreated. That's why in Mark's gospel, when Jesus announces the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. What does Jesus start doing as he says the kingdom of God is near? He starts fixing up the created world. What's the first thing he does? He goes into the synagogue and he casts out a demon. He goes to Simon Peter's home, where his mother-in-law is, and she's sick, and he heals her. And then he comes across a leper and he heals him. And then he comes across a paralytic and he forgives him and heals him. And then he comes across a tax collector who's rejected and he welcomes him. What does Jesus start doing as the kingdom of God comes? He starts healing physical ailments. He starts restoring his creation. And then chapter 2 of Mark, he comes across this paralyzed man. who needs forgiveness. And yes, his sins are forgiven, but as his sins are forgiven, so his body is healed. This is what Jesus is doing. He's beginning to restore creation. An imperfect world is being recreated. That's God's plan. That's God's purpose. What we're looking forward to is a physical life when Jesus returns. But beyond our imagination, like Charlie going into the factory, it was a world beyond imagination. What we're looking forward to is beyond imagination, but we can catch glimpses of it. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he writes this. He says, "Brothers, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or who grieve like the rest of men. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." Notice the direction of travel. God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. If you trust in Christ, then when this life ends, assuming it's ended before the Lord returns, you'll go to be with Jesus and enjoy a glorious sleep with Jesus. That's why the New Testament writers talk about Christians who've died as being asleep. And one day, they'll come back with Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the King of the world. That's why he came, to take his rightful place as the King of the world. He was rejected. He was killed. He's still the King of the world and is coming back to take his rightful place. Heaven is coming here. We will go and be with Jesus and then we'll come back with him. That's exciting. Is that exciting? That's exciting, isn't it? In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus ascends into heaven and the disciples are looking up and the angel says, "Why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Jesus is coming back to be King of the world. And we will reign with him. We're not going to heaven. Heaven's coming here. We're not going to be with Jesus for eternity. We're going to sleep with Jesus and then we're coming back. Isn't that exciting? Is that exciting? That's exciting, isn't it? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, quoting from Isaiah, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." Beyond our imagination, but we can catch a glimpse. It will be a physical life, a physical world. It will be the world that God created because God so loved the world. And the disciples catch a glimpse of this when Jesus appears to them on that first Easter day in John chapter 20, verse 19 and 20. "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After this, he showed them his hand and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord." It's a glimpse of what we're looking forward to. The disciples are in a room with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. And Jesus appears. And this is not a ghost. This is not an apparition. He shows them his hand and his side. This is a physical Jesus, a resurrected Jesus, recognisably the same as the Jesus that they knew, but different. They're in a locked room. And Jesus is suddenly physically present with them. He is the first fruits. He gives us a glimpse of what we are looking forward to. He's giving us a glimpse of what our resurrected bodies will be like. He's giving us a glimpse of what it will be like when heaven comes to earth. That's what Jesus has done for us. So when we think, yes, Jesus died for me so that my sins could be forgiven, don't stop there. Open the box. Catch a glimpse of what you're looking forward to. How exciting to have a resurrected body. How exciting to live in a world beyond imagination. Perfect, sinless, glorious. Not subject to decay. No more tears, no more crying, no more death. That's why today is so glorious. That's what we're looking forward to. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let's say that again with a bit more gusto. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Oh man, we're going to sing before we come to communion. Julian, come and lead us as we sing. I will offer up my life. I will offer up my life. That's our response to Jesus. We offer up our lives. Our lives, because he's given us eternal life. That's what we're looking forward to. If you're able, do stand and let's sing together.